is Northwestern Medicine VP. Call Dr. Most right now.
Dr. Kevin Most joins us. Hello, buddy.
How are you doing, man?
All right. Good morning to you, and thank you for the great care taken. Maureen, my wife Maureen, was in for a brief one-day situation last week, and your people were great as always.
Well, thanks. You know, it's always nice to hear that. We always want to hear when we can be better, but we also appreciate anybody, because you can share that with the staff, and it just makes the staff feel better. Yeah, you
know, I appreciate
it. You can see the people smiling around you. So,
yeah, and I appreciate the fact that you lifted the ban on me coming inside. That was nice of you.
Yeah, that's just one day, though. You knew that.
Yeah. Special waiver. Yep. Doc, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. We talked about organ donation last week, just briefly leading up to this week. So let's jump in. You want to hit the myth, the people that what people think and what's not true?
Yeah, you throw me the myth and I'll tell you what's true and not true.
You can't have an open casket at a funeral.
No, totally untrue. So you can definitely have an open casket. Even people that have cornea donations can still have an open casket. They do not do damage to the body, to the face, as much as they possibly can. So you certainly can have an open casket.
Rich people get organs first. Celebrities get organs first. Regular folks don't have a chance.
No, there's a national computer system that matches up, and it takes into consideration a whole bunch of things. Where the donated organ is, who needs it close by, how much time does it need to transport it. It's all computerized, and you really have no way to manipulate that. So that's a falsehood as well.
How about age? Is there an age limit to being a donor?
No, you know, people think, oh, you know what, I'm over 80, I guess I can't. But in fact, close to 40% of the donations are over the age of 60. And we've had donors as old as 93 years old. So that's false as well.
I don't want to leave my family to pay for this with that burden.
That's probably one of the biggest things people say, well, how much does this cost? And, you know, does insurance cover it? You have to realize that there is no cost for this at all to the patient or their family. The cost is all taken care of by the donation side of it. So there's no cost whatsoever.
If I'm in a hospital and they know I'm an organ donor, they're not going to try as hard to save me.
Yeah, that's probably one of the biggest ones. We say no, absolutely not. There's nothing we're going to change in your care. We're going to deliver care the way you want it delivered, and we're going to do everything we possibly can. And we have no clue, actually, if you're an organ donor until, you know, that decision needs to be made.
This might be from watching too much TV, but someone will take my organs and sell them.
Yeah. You know, you see those bad movies, someone wakes up in a bathtub of ice and their kidney is gone. That can't happen. You can't sell organs in the United States. It's against the law. So that's a falsehood as well.
And I want to pick up these last two here in a minute, because they're things that really I didn't know, but I want to bring them up in greater detail. Sandberg?
Unfortunately, you know, there was that tragedy in Canada, the junior hockey team,
no,
and the bus
story.
Crash on Friday. And one of the kids on the team a couple weeks ago just signed up to be an organ donor. So he lost his life, but six people are going to benefit from what he did.
And he just signed up.
He just signed up a couple weeks ago.
How about that?
His girlfriend put it on Facebook.
About that?
So I'm always surprised. You think you can donate, like, how many? I think you might help one person, but your organs can go to different people. And, you know, you have a lot of organs to give.
And we have a story that is kind of remarkable, too, because Eddie Olczyk, when he was diagnosed with cancer, we were all very concerned for Eddie, and Eddie was rightfully concerned as well, because as healthy as he was, and he's just about to turn 50, he was up against it. It was a bad deal. But he has really been a great story, as has Eddie Johnson. Eddie Johnson, the police superintendent. Where did he get his? From his son?
From his son.
From his son. How about that?
Mm-hmm. His kidney.
And, if you saw him before, you could see he was slowing down a little bit. You see him now in the news, and unfortunately we see him in the news a little bit. He looks great.
Yeah, he's lost a ton of weight, too.
Yeah, so that is one time where a live donor can give to somebody, right? We have two kidneys. You don't need two, so you can definitely can donate one. And there's unbelievably cool stories of essentially chain transplants where recently in Chicago, in February actually, six people wanted to donate kidneys. Let's say I wanted to donate a kidney to you, Steve, but you know our tissue doesn't match up. They did the math and they figured it all out. Six different people traded essentially kidneys with other people so that live donors were able to impact six different people.
How about that?
And Yeah, it was really cool. Doctor, and then they all got together and met each other.
That's super cool. Is there a way to specify? I have a friend for certain reasons wants to be a donor, but just doesn't want to donate her eyes. I mean, is there a way that you can say, hey, you can have everything, just not organ X? You know,
absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. 100%. Some people will say that. They don't want to donate their eyes. They don't want to donate their heart. You know, sometimes it's religious, sometimes it's spiritual, and they feel that way. But yeah, you just make your wishes clear.
And also, if you're sick, it doesn't mean you can't donate an organ, because you have healthy parts of your body that are very useful.
Yeah, there's very few things that will exclude you, one of them being HIV, and the other would be, let's say you had kidney cancer. Well, we certainly can't take that kidney and use that. So organs that have cancer in them, we can't use. HIV, there's just very few things that would stop you, preclude you from being a donor.
What about when your eyes are not that great? I mean, most people don't have perfect 20/20 vision. Does it matter?
Well, it depends, because it depends what we're looking for. So you don't have 20/20 vision, which is essentially in the back of your eye, but your cornea may be absolutely perfect. We do 48,000 cornea transplants, which allows people who are essentially blind to see again. Just think of that. 50,000 people have a cornea transplant which allows them to see. And the vision portion of it, the cornea and the lens may be fine. It's the back of your eye often that will cause parts of the blindness.
Doc, I've often heard from older family members, I'm going to need my body parts in the afterlife.
Yeah.
That's kind of a crazy excuse,
right?
That one
I can't answer.
Yeah, because in the afterlife, who knows? Maybe.
Or if I'm reincarnated, I might need them later.
No, they need them now.
Yeah.
LifeGoesOn.com, by the way. It's very easy to sign up everywhere. Before we get off this topic, we had a woman on the show not too long ago, rightfully devastated about losing her daughter. Her daughter had suffered with alcohol and drug addiction over a period of time. But because she had been an alcoholic, and you are an alcoholic once you're an alcoholic, she was not able to achieve a priority spot on the list or stay on the list in the slot she had hoped for. I'm oversimplifying this, but you know where I'm going with this, Doc.
Yeah.
So what do we do?
Well, this is a great, I shouldn't say it's a great story. It depends how you look at it. So this is a young lady who's 24 years old and had liver failure, acute liver failure, meaning it happened very quickly from alcohol use. It used to be that you used to have 6 months of sobriety. In other words, prove to me that you will take care of this organ and we will let you have this organ. So it's kind of a proof, especially when there is abuse used to cause the organ failure. The bad thing is that this person didn't have 6 months to live, because liver failure would have killed her, well within that period of time. But now you have hospitals that are saying, wait, time out. Some of these we need to relook at, and we need to relook at some of these rules, and liver failure from alcohol toxicity is definitely one of them. Because often with the right support system, someone will get that new liver and will end up with a life of sobriety. So we can't set rules that aren't totally fair and really don't look at it. So that's the ethical side of it. And fortunately, here in Chicago, Northwestern, University of Chicago have taken that step back and said, maybe it's not 6 months. We're going to take it on a case-by-case basis, but if you have acute liver failure due to alcohol and you have a good abuse system and we think that you're going to do well, we are going to waive that 6 month sobriety and we are going to move forward.
It's really a tough, tough situation, but this woman's life, her legacy may be just that, the ability to adjust that rule.
Absolutely. That's, you know, the mother, obviously, you know, very upset, family very upset, but they might look down and say, you know what, she's going to change a lot of lives.
Change the world.
Yep.
LifeGoesOn.com makes it easy. Stand by, Doc. I got a medical tech question when we come back. Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here. Doc, this may be another one of these stories that we can't do complete justice to, but the fact of the matter is medical technology gets better every single day, and medical record keeping does as well. Long gone are the days of the clipboard at the end of the bed, right?
Yeah, they really are. Long gone are the days when you went into your doctor's office and he wrote everything down on a little 3x5 card, and long gone are the days of the Seinfeld episode where George was concerned what his doctor wrote in his medical records.
So. Right. And you try to get the folder in a clandestine mission. So what is Apple doing?
Well, Apple's interesting. I'd say Apple's taken something that says, you know what, medical records are your records. That is your information. You actually own it, and you should have access to it. And you say, well, wait a second, I already have that. I have my chart. Well, unfortunately, my chart is institution-specific. So if you come to Northwestern, you'll have a Northwestern my chart. If you go to Rush, you're going to have their episode of my chart or whatever they want to call it. And what Apple has said is our care is way too fragmented. We are going to put that all in one place and make it easy for patients to get. So they're running a test right now across the country where they're saying, you tell us where you've been, we'll add that in, we've had these institutions agree, and we're going to put all your records in one place on your iPhone where you can have access to them.
That's an absolute dream, because I think we've all been in a situation, Doc, where you either change doctors or for whatever reason, and you have to hand carry your medical records over. So will it kind of be now like a Walgreens or a Jewel-Osco that all your prescriptions are just right there in one database?
Exactly. That's exactly it. So not only will your medications be there, but the rest of your history will be there as well. So you make a good point. You change doctors, and that doctor says, well, you know what? I'm no longer affiliated with Hospital X. I'm now with Hospital Y. And you're like, well, wait, all my records are over at Hospital X. This will allow those to all be put together in one place. And again, it allows you as the patient, they're your records. You control them. You should be able to look at them at any time.
And that'll help, too, with parents who, if you're taking care of maybe a parent or a grandparent and you don't know their medications.
Unbelievable. I can't tell you how many people come in and I ask them, so what medicines are you on? I say, I take a blue one for my blood pressure. I take a white one for my cholesterol. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's great.
And one of them's really big.
Right.
Yeah. And then you say, well, we need to do this test. Oh, I just had that test done at Hospital X. Well, we don't have those records. Therefore, we're going to have to repeat it. So not only is it going to be safer care, it's going to be more economical care. So Apple has looked at us and said, you guys in healthcare have no clue of what's going on as far as this. We're going to help you organize it.
How does all this tie into insurance? We'll take that up on the next episode of Kevin Most, Dr. Superhero. Thanks, buddy.
You got it. Take care. Have a great day.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better healthcare starts here.